The DISA conference has covered a lot of ground so far this week, but there are inescapable themes. Building enterprise IT architectures for the Defense Department, doing it securely and affordably, and doing it along with industry in a way that uses open standards. Tony Montemurano is DISA's acquisition executive.
Never have I seen the sixes of the world or the sixes of the military department coming together on the same frequency and saying, we've got to clean this up. We've got to make this more effective. So I believe the time is right. I believe we're close. It's within reach. The problem is that's what we have to hit on. People have to get religion and know that we can bring this stuff together and we can continue to improve the quality of service. We have to do that. And I think that's the main thing we got to focus on.
Getting religion, according to Lieutenant General Carol Pollitt, DISA's director, means DOD's various services and agencies have to stop duplicating one another's work, though he says that doesn't necessarily mean consolidating the different services' IT functions under DISA's umbrella.
If you're going to have an enterprise service center in one of the services, I think what I'd want to see is common standards, open standards in terms of how they optimize technology and virtualize the environments there so that we can leverage the capacity within our enterprise service centers so that they can coop and provide an enterprise infrastructure that's global. It shouldn't matter who signs hanging on the building. It really should have to do with the capabilities that we've got inside those environments in terms of providing those services. I think that's what we're trying to do. I'm very, very cautious that we're not viewed as it's got to be DISA's way or the highway, okay? It's really about IT convergence. It's really about standards. It's about being software-centric, not hardware-centric.
Montemurano says the kind of IT enterprise DISA envisions is one that doesn't force its users to sweat the day-to-day details of what makes it run.
What we're trying to do is to present to the warfighter a single platform, a single cloud, whatever it may be, whatever the current jargon is. We're trying to present to the warfighter an environment that they can plug in, whether it be a wireless environment or a wired environment, and do business. And when I say warfighter, maybe it's the developer. Plug in, and instead of having to worry about the server, the application, the wires, the connectivity, et cetera, they just plug in and start working.
David Michilchek, DISA's chief technology officer, thinks the day when DOD employees start thinking a lot less about hardware is not that far away. He predicts that within 5 years, even the idea of a PC on or under your desk will be history.
Instead, we're going to have mobile devices, wireless mobile devices that will be used for all classification levels of processing. I'll go a little further. You'll have one device that will span unclassified, secret, and top secret, and based on geolocation and sensors determine the environment it is working in, it will automatically switch between those environments to allow you to process data at those classification levels. When you get to your desk, you'll wirelessly dock with a keyboard and be able to have a full-featured environment.
But getting to that point will involve new approaches to security, according to Richard Hale, DISA's chief information assurance executive. He says right now, DOD's methods for approving new IT systems are anything but enterprise-focused.
Essentially, nothing yet is still designed to work properly in the face of cyber warfare by a capable adversary. We're doing consumer-grade stuff and hoping that we can get those dependability properties. This business of moving to enterprise allows us to put more mass on the problem. We've discovered that with enterprise email, problems that have festered throughout the department on how certain IT things work. Performance problems are starting to be solved now between Army and DISA because we actually have enough folks working them. But right now, we've got to get DOD's house in order, and we've got to be able to work in a realistic operational environment. Security hasn't been cast as this mission assurance or dependability problem very well. Hence, we still have these paper-based certification and accreditation processes that haven't yet caught up with the idea that everything is hooked to everything else.
So the vision, Hale says, is that the cloud platform not only changes the way users interact with IT, letting them think less about the black boxes that run the software, but that it also incorporates security and reliability into the platform itself. He says in order to quickly add emerging enterprise capabilities onto the platform, a lot of the manual work of certification and accreditation is going to have to become automated. DISA will move to an approach that continuously monitors and scores the security of everything on the network, a move Hale says will transform the certification and accreditation process. He says for industry, that means products they build for DoD can't rely on closed or proprietary standards.
Because we're doing much more enterprise service and enterprise buys of information assurance capabilities, just the way we are in all other areas of DISA's efforts, we're very interested in standards and interoperability because we're going to automate all of this stuff, right? We are going to drive cost out by automating all this security and all this management and all this cyber attack detection, diagnosis, and reaction and configuring. So we need standards and interoperability across products, and we are working very hard to make sure that as we do enterprise things, we have multi-vendor options for virtually all the enterprise stuff we do.
Hale says DISA wants to hide the nitty-gritty details of what's behind the platform from users and developers as much as possible and allow them to trust that it provides a secure and dependable environment. In addition to building a secure cloud platform for DISA, Hale says the agency's also working to create individual enterprise services that handle everyone's needs in the Defense Department. One involves a new way of thinking about the way DoD's users access individual technology systems. Instead of hundreds or thousands of different systems using their own schemes of individual accounts,
and go to non-account-based access control for almost every information service in the department. And we're going to do that through the use of attribute-based access control. We're going to use those PKI credentials that you got on the UnclassNet, and this is the year of the CIPRNet PKI, so we're going to have them on CIPR as well. And you'll present that credential to an information service, and it will go find out things about you, compare that to an enterprise policy, and then grant you access. We have all these accounts that are very local things. They inhibit our ability to get to things, and they cost a lot of money to set up, right? There's all this paper that's signed and faxed back and forth to get accounts on systems. Trying to get rid of all that.
Besides security, there are other challenges involved in moving DoD to enterprise IT architectures. DISA officials feel they center around two other culprits, culture and money. Montemarano says it's hard for DoD to operate as a single IT enterprise when it's not funded that way.
Right now, inside of DISA alone, we have multiple funding models. Defense Working Capital Fund fee-for-service, Defense Working Capital Fund subscription service, and then we have appropriate. Okay, services have comparable problems as well. Okay, how do we reconcile that? We have to address the funding model because right now everybody's going to be hugging the dollars in any way, and they're going to be looking at it from their own perspective. And as long as they do that, you're not going to be able to bring it together.
As for culture, Paulette says it's up to the department's leadership to make the necessary changes. But living in a world where dollars are more scarce will help too.
I will tell you one of the things that's helping department exercise that level of thinking is cost constraints. It has been a forcing action that has affected culture. And it's probably affected it more significantly probably in the last 12 to 18 months in terms of converging talent together to look at how to gain efficiencies and helped us get beyond some of the traditional culture barriers that we had.
In Baltimore, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.